The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Let's travel the world together. She can make it easy and in any kind of weather. No TSA, no bag checks, no patting down. She's talking from the skies and sending lots of feel-good sounds. Oh, Betty in the sky, have you heard her yet? She loves traveling, there's no doubt. Betty and the Jets. She's weird and wonderful. Oh, Betty, she's a podcast queen. She's wearing high heel shoes, got her wings on too. You know I've never seen a better stew. Oh, Betty and the Jets.
Hello and welcome to Bulb in the Sky with a Suitcase. I'm Bulb. I'm a flight attendant for a major airline, and I bring you stories from the airplane, from the flight attendants and the pilots, and from traveling around the world. In this episode, we have lots of stories about hotel mishaps, cats, throw up, dead bodies, Iceland, dolls, and exploding toilets. The music for this show came from listener Christine, and it's a symphonic tone poem pandemic project describing the bumpy dirt road leading to the Champion Lodgepole Pine near Big Bear, the meadows, frogs, birds, etc., and it'll be performed by an orchestra when the pandemic is over. Let's get on with the show. I think I've mentioned before in the podcast that when I was growing up, I had a nickname Betty Boop, and then sometimes Boop, and then sometimes Boops, which Boops was a little strange because it sounds off like boobs, and I was well endowed. So anyway, I have a longtime friend, and we talk to each other all the time. And when I'm not here and I get a message on my cell phone, it also sends me a text. And then, you know, of course, it's some computer making the voicemail into text. And I do find it entertaining sometimes what it writes. So he calls me, since he's known me a long time, Boop. So the text read, "Hi, Bulb," because the computer probably doesn't hear the word boop that often. So I'm now Bulb. "Hi, Bulb." And the other funny thing in that text was he goes to a Tai Chi class. He said, "I'm off to my touchy class." "Hi, Bulb. I'm off to my touchy class." I was working a flight back to the United States, and we have three cabins on really nice planes, the newest planes. We have three sections in coach. So you have the premium, the pretty good, and then the coach. Those aren't their names, but you get the gist. And like the premium is significantly more expensive than regular coach. So there was a cat in the premium section that was meowing. And there's a woman, she comes back, young woman, comes back to the galley, kind of stomps back and says to the purser, "You need to do something about that cat. That cat is just meowing and meowing. Like, you have to do something." And he said, "Well, I have cats, and I don't know of anything I can do to a cat to make it stop meowing." He said, "I don't think you can really get a cat to stop meowing and general." And then she's like, "Well, you need to talk to the owner." And he said, "Well, I could talk to the owner, but I have a feeling the owner's not going to be able to do anything either. It's like, what can you do to quiet a cat?" And she kind of huffed and stomped away. And then we're left laughing in the galley. We're like, how are we going to quiet a cat? And then when we brief, we have a sign-up sheet, and different jump seats have different duties. You know, one person's working in the galley. One person says hello at the door. And he said, maybe one of the chores should be pussy patrol. And we're laughing. Oh, yeah, you're on pussy patrol. And then he said, "You know, I don't know if I was all that nice to her. Maybe I'll go back and apologize for the cat. I mean, he's just being extra nice because, you know, how do you apologize for a cat? But anyway, he says, I'll go back and apologize. So he gets out his phone to look up her name so he can be professional when he apologizes for the cat. And then he realizes she's not even sitting in that cabin. She's supposed to be in coach, and she's moved up two cabins. And he's like, oh my gosh, I got to go tell her. She's got to go back to her seat. And then we're laughing before he went. We're like, you know, if you're trying to get away with something, it's best not to draw attention to yourself in general.
I'm just saying.
Years, okay. And I've always been a purser.
Right.
2 months after I started flying, I was a purser. So I had, remember in those days we had to count money?
Yeah.
Okay. So I get in my room. I've got the money thing out there. And I had this paranoia of being in my room. So I would lock every lock there was to be locked. I get in and I love steamy showers.
Right.
I jump in and I lock the bathroom door like anybody would do. Not lock, but close it. And I'm completely done with my shower. And I go to open the door and I can't open the door because the heat, the steam has literally, I guess, swollen.
Expanded
the wood.
Oh my gosh.
And so, I mean, I kid you not, I was in there for 2 hours. And finally I'm like, what am I going to do? I can't stay here all night. So I start... In the bathroom, I'm like, help, help, I need help. I'm stuck in the bathroom. Help, help. So anyway, finally, I'm in England. I hear somebody at the door. Excuse me, madam, are you okay? I'm like, no.
There's somebody screaming in your room.
I'm stuck in the bathroom. You what? I'm stuck in the bathroom. Oh, okay. Let me call maintenance. Well, they literally had to break the door.
Did you have a towel on?
I had just the towel on. And but they had to break the door into the room and the door into the bathroom.
Because you had it locked. Your door was locked.
Yes. And even the door to the bathroom, they literally, well, that one, they had to take off the hinges. But I'm thinking, okay, this is the most embarrassing thing that could ever happen to anybody. I will not say a word to anybody when I go downstairs to, you know, for pickup. I get downstairs, and this is the talk. Oh, my gosh, did you hear that woman screaming? Help!
Did you tell him it was you?
I told them. I broke down. I started laughing. I said, it was me. She's like, you? What?
You know, during the pandemic, things are different and things can be scarier. I mean, I never liked the throw up. You know, it's not my favorite part of the job. But these days when someone throws up, you're afraid they might have it, you know, and it's scary. So I had gotten up early from crew rest. Stupid me. I like to brush my hair. And sure enough, guy threw up all over the place. And kind of on the plane with the flight attendants, if you find it, it's yours. Great. So I'm cleaning up. I started cleaning up the throw up. I had gloves on and I thought better of it and went and put on goggles. I put on a gown. I got like a hazmat suit on because, you know, it is, throw up is scarier in a pandemic. Just a few little things. You know, when it's your work environment, you're so used to certain terms that it's surprising when other people don't know them. But really, I guess there's not that much reason for them to know certain things. Like the flight attendant had made a PA on this long international flight that during the flight, we will have snacks in the galley if you'd like to come back. And so I'm walking through the cabin and this young guy stops me and he goes, she said there were snacks in the galley? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, what's a galley? And I was like, oh, it's like a kitchen. But it's so surprising to me that somebody wouldn't know what a galley was. But actually, probably in everyday life, you don't have any need for a galley. Okay, another thing, these are both sometimes when English isn't your first language, you can have some funny mishaps. So there was this Asian flight attendant said on the PA, because the flight was short, so they weren't going to have a beverage service. And so she said, there's no service between my legs. They are too short. And then a French speaker, the choices for breakfast were eggs and a crepe. And so she's in the cabin going, eggs or crepe? Eggs or crepe? And the passengers are like, eggs or crepe?
So he was telling the story how he was doing always like one of those East Coast, you know, like Boston, New York, or it was in and out of New York. It might have been Florida, New York, whatever. Full, you know, full plane.
Right.
And I think it was a wide body because it had a galley in the back. And and so he is in the back with this lady that's dying. Actually, she did die. And they were, you know, just trying to, like, save her life whenever she died in the back galley. But this guy comes back and just is pissed because he's been ringing his call light and he can't get a drink.
Right.
So Mark looks at him simply and just says, okay, we will get you that, sir, but can we just get the dead body out of the aisle into the galley?
Oh,
my and then
God.
We'll get your drink.
This came to me from listener Steve, and I thought it was interesting. It was a story out of Iceland where it said, missing woman mystery solved. A group of tourists spent hours Saturday night looking for a missing woman in Iceland. The group was traveling through Iceland on a tour bus and stopped near a volcanic canyon. Soon there was word of a missing passenger. The woman, who had changed clothes, didn't recognize the description of herself and joined the search. The search was called off around 3 a.m. when it became clear that the missing woman was, in fact, accounted for in searching for herself. Actually, I think it's funny she didn't recognize the description of herself because it could have been like, oh, you know, she was a middle-aged, heavy-set woman. Or she was a short, stumpy woman. You know, it was probably something that she didn't consider herself being. So she was looking for herself. Guess what? I have a sponsor, and I am thrilled to back this company because I believe improv helps in so many areas of life. We all know, now more than ever, that life is change. If you or your company need new skills to navigate this moment-by-moment world, Life Plays Applied Improv is here for you. Life Plays, that's LIFEPLAYS, offers fun and powerful practice in the presence, flow, and being comfortable in the unknown. They offer individual coaching as well as team building and leadership trainings for the biggest companies around. Check out www.lifeplays.com to see great testimonials and be inspired by how the skills of an improviser will serve your wellness, creativity, and resilience. You and your company will be glad you did.
When I was a flight attendant, been probably flying, I don't know, 8 or 9 years, I was tired and we got to our room and I decided to order room service.
Right.
Ate my room service and, you know, my food, and I was going to set my tray outside the door, and the next thing you know,
right,
I felt the door hit my booty and I was standing outside of my hotel, you know, room.
Right.
But the problem was that I just was barely dressed. And so I was frantic. So I had to knock on doors in the hall to find someone that would help me and give me a towel. And the person
but was
next
was it a flight attendant? You?
This happened to me.
I know, but the person that you knocked on their door.
No, it was just a stranger, a man, a stranger.
You knocked on the door.
Yeah,
because a stranger,
yes,
barely dressed.
And I remember he opened the door up, and I was trying to pull my shirt down over my thing, and he said, you know, like, he just had a startled look on his face, and I said, sir, please, I need a towel to put around me. I've accidentally locked myself out of my door. So he gave me a towel and let me cover up, And then they brought me a key. But the ridiculous thing about that whole story is that man had the audacity to call me later in my room and ask me if I was okay and if I would like to have a drink or dinner.
Well, like, he did knock on his door virtually naked. Yes. I could see how he might think you might, you know.
Yes.
So now with wearing a mask at work, I find it difficult because, like, say I walk through the airport and I'll walk through the concourses for exercise when I get there early because I'm commuting. So I'll walk all the concourses. And normally, if you're walking by another employee in uniform, even though you don't know them, you would give them a smile or a hello. But you can't smile at anybody in the mask. So I found what everybody's doing is like a head nod. It's like the head nod is the new smile. And I do sort of an exaggerated head nod. And it reminds me of I Dream of Jeannie. That's how she changed things. She would nod her head and her ponytail would move. So basically, I find myself now walking through the concourse at the airport just nodding like Jeannie. So I was on the crew van going to the layover and I'm yapping away as per normal. talking. There were some people I knew on the trip and there was a girl I've never flown with before, pretty girl, sitting pretty far in the back of the bus by the pilots. And then she says to one of the pilots, is that Betty? Betty with the podcast? Betty? And the pilots are like, I don't know what the heck you're talking about. Who? What? Huh? So then she says, are you the Betty with the podcast? And I'm like, yeah, you know, she was like, I listened to the show. And I was like, really? It's always fun. It's always fun when someone, she goes, I recognized your giggle. Guess it's a signature giggle. So conversely, I was on a trip and, lots of times on a trip, the people who are working in coach and you're working in first class and then you switch on the way back. And so some of the people on the trip you don't really talk to that much and others you've been chatting with for 3 days. So we'd had a good 3 days and some flight attendants had told me some stories and we're about to get off the plane. And one of them goes, what's the name of your podcast again? And I go, oh, it's Betty in the Sky with a Suitcase. But you can just put in Betty in the Sky, usually in any search, and it'll come up. And then this other girl who I hadn't been talking with that much said to all of us, there were like four of us standing there. She goes, oh, you mean the podcast? She can go on and on. I know I'm supposed to be offended, but, and I go, well, that's me. She's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, I'm Betty. She's like, you're Betty? I'm like, yeah. And she goes, oh, I'm sorry. I said, no, it's quite all right. Sometimes I can go on and on. That's actually the nature of a podcast because basically I'm talking. Anyway, she was like, oh, I listen and look, I'll show you on my phone. I have you on my list. And she goes, I can't believe it's you. And it's like the other flight attendants were kind of standing there looking at me like, oh, she kind of just dissed ya. She could go on and on.
Yeah, it was an old radio commercial for an apartment complex in Memphis. I think it was Camden Grove Apartments or something like that. And it started off with this announcer, and he was talking about Candace, the Russian supermodel. And he said, Candace just loves living in Memphis. And you hear Candace saying, they drag me here. And then he says, she really values her privacy. Candace goes, get away from me. And finally, the man says, after a very satisfying lunch of Tic Tacs and a Diet Coke, Candace goes, shut up, stupid little man.
Just say that part one more time.
Shut up, stupid little man.
I like that part.
So I was flying to Paris, and it was when they have to do a 14-day quarantine. And there was this heavy-set lady with a yappy dog and dirty clothes and dirty hair. And we all noticed her. She was just, you know, she's just real sloppy. And she was obviously American. And one of my coworkers asked her, they said, what are you going to Paris for if you're going to have to quarantine for 14 days? And she said, oh, I'm going to meet a guy that I met online. And then that flight attendant told all the rest of us, and we were like, oh, he might be disappointed.
Get away from me.
I have an older sister who's been delving into the family history and getting like the family crest made and family trees. She's also been putting together different stories, and she's been asking me questions because I'm the youngest of 10, 8 girls and 2 boys, and my life, because I was the youngest, is very different than the older siblings' history. And I don't really have any memory of living in a house with 12 people. They all started to leave. My oldest sister is 18 years older than me, so they all started getting jobs and leaving the house. So I had it nicer than a lot of my older siblings. But we've just been talking lately, and it's interesting. We didn't have any money growing up. And it's interesting when you're a child, you don't know any better, and that's just how things are. You don't understand if something might be odd. But even for me, my parents had more money the less kids you had by the time I was there. But still, there were some odd things that I hadn't really thought about for a long time. But since my sister's been asking me questions, We didn't have a bath mat. You just took something from the dirty hamper, put it on the floor to step on when you got out of the shower. And I'd always, you know, you didn't want to step on underwear or anything. You're always hoping for a towel or something. But, you know, sometimes it was a shirt or a sweatshirt. And at the time, it didn't even occur to me. I didn't know that people had bath mats. Well, my sister told me a story that it was a strange house that I grew up in. I'd say it had actual bedrooms, 4 bedrooms, and there were 12 people, and there was this big middle room upstairs. And in that middle room, I was in the middle room at one point with 2 other sisters, so there were 3 of us in this middle room. But the thing that was so odd about this middle room is that everybody had to go through it to get to the bathroom or get to their bedroom or downstairs. So you constantly had people going through your quote-unquote bedroom. So I didn't realize some of this stuff because I wasn't around, but my sister that's been looking into it, she was saying that my oldest sister, now I don't remember any of this because I wasn't around and she moved out when I was probably 2, so she was a bit of a, and it's conjecture because I don't remember any of it, was a bit of a tyrant, or she like kind of ran the show, the oldest one. And she had her own bedroom, but she didn't have a door. She had a sheet for like a curtain. And apparently the other sisters, because mainly sisters, were scared of her because she was a bit of a tyrant. And they said that we had, at the time, when I was in the house, we got a shower downstairs. But originally, there was only 1.5 baths, and it was only, the tub was upstairs. So there was no shower, and they all had to share 1 tub. That's a lot of people for a tub. And so apparently, when my tyrant oldest sister would come home from work, she'd yell as she was coming up the stairs, "I'm in the bathroom." And whoever was in the bathroom had to run out like with a towel, like, ah, not to piss off the tyrant. But then she was telling this nice part of the story is that everybody was a little scared of her. And at this one time, she was making all this terrible noises in her room and all these smells that they were just like, what in the world is she doing in there? But none of them, they were all afraid to ask. And it turns out she was hand tooling leather accessories for everyone for Christmas, and they were beautiful.
I was on a Dubai layover, and I do like to shower, so I take long, long showers. And I decided to wash my hair this time, which I normally don't do on my layover. However, I got into the shower, stood there for a while, decided to shampoo my hair, probably after 15 minutes, just letting the water run down on me. Cranked the warm level up. And then all of a sudden, as I'm shampooing my hair, the light goes off in my room. And I'm freaking out a little bit because I'm like, Oh, crap. Did I lock the front door?
Oh.
We are in Dubai now, so is somebody going to walk in on me?
Oh.
So now I'm getting a little worried. So, well, in my birthday suit, I ran out with shampoo in my hair.
You ran out of your room?
No. I ran out of the shower, okay, wet, and the shampoo in my hair. And there was one light on in the bedroom. So then I started locking up my door, making sure nobody can get in. And it's still dark, but there's a little light coming into the bathroom from the light in the bedroom. So I proceed to just calmly continue my shower, wash the shampoo out, condition my hair 15 minutes later. I'm still in the shower, but the light came on. That's my story.
Was it a fuse or?
I have no idea. It didn't seem to happen to any other crew member. Huh. I asked around.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sometimes listeners surprise you. I got this email from a listener named Franklin, and he said, I had this doll's dress made earlier last year, and we take her to different places like you do yours. And if you zoom in, you'll notice her name tag bears your name. They have this cute little flight attendant doll with wings whose name is Betty, and they take her around and take pictures of her. And he sent me pictures from Rome and Carnival, and it's like, look at that! That is adorable. In the last few episodes, I've done some readings from old journals, and that's it for now, because apparently I have a very short attention span, and I probably had good intentions, so I started writing journals, like in the India trip and in the Morocco trip, and then it just stops, and there's nothing. So that's it for that. I'd like to thank any of you who were so kind. When you were going to buy something on Amazon, and a lot of us do, you went to my website, doesn't take you but a second, click on any of the Amazon links, it doesn't cost you anymore, it supports the show, and I like to see what people buy. Somebody bought Sky Gods, The Fall of Pan Am, and then these two I think are funny because this is pretty much opposite and shows that my listeners have range. There's a Seeing Clearly, A Buddhist Guide to Life, and then Rave Hologram Body Chest Harness Cage Bra Choker. Okay. Thanks. Go to my website, bettyinthesky.com. It supports the show, and I thank you so very much.
Well, we were on a flight, and my husband and I, we were on our honeymoon. And we were sitting by, it was on the 7th floor, and we were sitting by the three doors. And we saw this big Asian woman come, and she sat on the aisle seat of the bulkhead right in front of us. And her bag was right there. It was one of the new hires came by and said to her, "Ma'am, you've got to put that bag under your, right, under your seat." And of course, she didn't understand a word. So the flight attendant kicked it,
right,
with her foot.
Yeah, they hate that.
Yes, that lady got up and slapped her.
Oh my gosh.
She was in shock. I was in shock. My husband and I were sitting there. Oh my gosh. She goes back up to the purser. The purser comes back and starts trying to communicate with this lady, and the lady did not understand. So they called the cops. This big lady... Okay, this is really funny. This big lady puts her butt between the bulkhead and the seat.
Oh my God.
And literally sits back there. So the cops, it was like tug of war, trying to pull her out of that seat. And then, of course, they're trying to get her off the airplane. And all she can say is, "Discrimination! Discrimination!" And they got her off the flight.
That reminds me of a cute little story. This girl was always flying to Mexico, so she asked one of the Spanish speakers, because she got people never had their bags under the seat, and she said, "How do you say put your bag under your seat in Spanish?" And she said, "Just shove it."
Just shove it.
Just shove it.
So I was flying to Europe, and there was a woman who was connecting onto Africa. She got on the plane, and she had extra masks on, a couple masks, face shield, gloves, and she said that she had been saving her whole life and for a first-class ticket to go on an African safari. And it's kind of like, because, you know, first class isn't what first class usually is right now. She was like, I just flew from San Diego, and all I got was a bag with a little bottle of water and some crackers. It's like, yeah. It's not exactly the first class you probably dreamed of. But then this story took a worse turn. And I'm sometimes hesitant to tell these kinds of stories because I like everything to be upbeat and positive. And I do feel sometimes this whole pandemic is bringing out the worst in people, and people have made it political. And anyway, another woman who's sitting in first class, these women are in their 50s and 60s, and they're not in kindergarten. And this woman, I guess, I don't know why this other woman saw the woman in the face shield and a bunch of masks. I don't know, but what she decided to do, we're still on the ground boarding. She takes her mask off, sticks her tongue at the lady and goes, aah! Like to freak her out. And it's like, okay. So then that woman complained, and then we had to get a supervisor to come on to tell the lady she's going to have to keep her mask on and not stick her tongue out at the other lady who's afraid. Apparently this woman, the one who had saved her whole life, hadn't been in her house. She hadn't been out of her house since March. And now she's on a plane and she's got a woman taking her mask off going, ah. Anyway, work is a little challenging these days.
So I was in Chicago on a layover, and the moral to this story is never, ever try to fix anything in your bathroom. If you hear a noise or a sound, call maintenance, because you never know what kind of catastrophe you're going to cause. So I got all comfy in my bed, and I kept hearing this noise in my toilet area.
Yeah.
So I went into the bathroom and thought I could lift the lid off and just kind of tamper around and shake a little few things in the toilet compartment to get it to stop making that noise. The next thing I knew, I had broke something, and let's just say the long of the short of this story is that they had to evacuate the entire floor because I flooded it, because whatever I did caused the commode to explode.
Oh my gosh.
And so I ran to the person next door to me, a flight attendant, and said, you've got to help me. My commode has exploded. And they had no idea that I meant the seriousness of it. And I'll never forget how his name was John, said, let me get my socks on and I'll be right there. I said, oh no, you had no idea. Anyway, we laughed about that story because we had to be evacuated that night, and it was already a short layover. And I remember my captain, as we stood outside and the fire department was going into the hotel, I remember my captain looking over at me and saying, never say that you did anything to that toilet. Never, never, ever say that.
You keep that to yourself.
Yeah, you keep that to yourself, because I caused the entire fifth floor to be evacuated.
Oh my gosh, that is good.
Back in the day, we had a lot of lavatories. The lavatory door that when you were landing or taking off, depending on where the lavatory was, the door would fly open. Most of the planes these days are pretty good about the lavatory door not coming open on takeoff or landing. But this flight attendant was telling me, really nice flight attendant, was telling me that back in the day, she's strapped in her jump seat, sitting next to another flight attendant, and they're landing. They had been talking, and they're landing, and the lavatory door flung open. So she used her foot and slammed it shut and kept talking, because this happened all the time. And then the door opened again, and she's like, man, this door's bad, and she slammed it shut. And then it happened again, and she's like, wow, this door, slammed it shut. They landed, and they get on the ground, and the door opens again slowly. And then they're thinking, why is the door opening now? You know, the plane isn't at an angle anymore. And then there's a little old man in there. So he was trying to come out of the bathroom, and she kept slamming the door shut. So he ended up landing in the bathroom. Oops. Well, that's about it for this episode of Bulb in the Sky with the Suitcase. I hope you'll join me again next time so we can travel around the world together. Thanks. Bye.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.